from this world and Babylon to this beautiful place. A price I could afford, but it was just by your grace. I could afford, but it was just by your grace. I want to thank you, Lord, that you ever found me. I was condemned to die, then you set me free. From this world and Babylon into this beautiful place. Not a price I could afford, it was just by your grace. I want to thank you, Lord, that you ever by your grace. I want to thank you, Lord, that you ever found me. I was condemned to die, set me free from this world. Babylon,
Asking everybody to let's all come up front here and just invite the Lord in for a little while. Let's just spend a little time inviting Him in, asking Him to sup with us, and then we'll finish. I don't want to stop our song service, but I just thought it might be good if we just all kind of come up here around the front and just begin to ask God. Just pray, talk to Him, ask Him to come in and sup with us here tonight. I just felt like doing that. Precious Lord, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord, oh God, would You sup with us here tonight, Jesus. God, hallelujah. Lord, You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our prayers. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love You. We appreciate Your goodness and Your mercy, Your great grace, oh, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Precious Lord, precious Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, help us tonight, Lord, to touch You, to reach out, Lord, and sup with You, to receive things from You, Lord, direction for our lives, food for our souls. God, help us to drink Your blood and eat Your flesh, oh God, the bread of life, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask You to impart to us tonight, oh God, hallelujah. That which You would want us to have, Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy, for Your grace, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, cleanse us, oh God, from any sin. Oh, God, known or unknown. Let us, oh God, walk in a holy place with You tonight, Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Praise Your wonderful name, Lord. Praise Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He called on the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh.
God, your many blessings. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord, Ikaramahaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you're worthy, Lord, of our appreciation. You're worthy of our praise. Precious Savior, precious Savior. He shall have a good one. Oh, Father God, hallelujah. What a mighty God, Lord. What a mighty God we're serving tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, precious Savior, precious Savior, precious Savior. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just felt like it'd be good if we started having some services where we started out just wooing the Lord in and asking Him to come in our midst and bless us and help us. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for responding to that. Thank you, Lord. All right, Sister York, you have another song? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Glory a Dios. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus. Lord, purify my heart. Cleanse and wash the very inward part. If this vessel you can use. I'm sorry, I'm getting two songs mixed up. Purify my heart.
Up there, put it back. There it is, Sister Yvonne. Sister Yvonne, look on the board.
I got two songs going okay. The same time. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
Lord, purify my heart. Cleanse and wash the very inward part. Never let a single thing. Dedicate my life, an example.
gain my life, an accepted sacrifice. Lord, purify my heart, cleanse and wash the very inward part. Never let a single thing hinder me.
Let me dedicate my life.
hinder me from yielding everything. Let my spirit humble be an example for the world to see. Let me dedicate my life and accept and sacrifice. Lord, purify my heart, cleanse and wash the very thing.
my attitude. This is the way I haven't been an example that I need to be. I'm sorry for not being an example to everyone the way I should be. Not being. Acting on the way I was raised. I grew up in this my whole life. And God gave me a few tastes of the world. And I don't want any more of it. There's nothing in the world that can satisfy me. Everything I love is right here. And I'm sorry to everybody. I apologize to all of you for whatever I may have said or done. Any way I may have acted. Any way I may have come across by my appearance. Anything I may have done. I'm sorry.
Hinder me from healing.
Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate this good touch here tonight. Appreciated Brother Caleb getting this that touch. And seemed like a good breakthrough, you know, into the Spirit. Sometimes we feel that way, like we just need something from the Lord that we're not getting. But I appreciate songs like that song. It does make you reach down in your heart and really begin to realize how much you need God. That there's something about when you just give God everything, you know, or at least you try to put it all on the altar. won't you be glad when you can do that and leave it there? And it, you know, you get enough power of God. That's one of the things that we are understanding about overcoming sin, that you just cannot, as much as you would like to never sin again. You cannot get in a sinless condition overnight. It takes time. It also takes God's timing, not just time for each one of us to grow and mature. It's common sense will tell you. The 5th chapter of Hebrews said that he that is of full age receiveth knoweth how to discern both good and evil. He that eateth meat is of full age and knows how to discern both good and evil. That's that scripture alone indicates that there's a growing process. Maybe y'all put that up there for me. In Hebrews 5, maybe 29 or 14. It's in the end of the chapter, the last two verses. So, well, there it is. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's the wording there that lets you know. If you back up to the verse before that, even gives you further proof. But everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. So you start out in this as a baby. And Jesus said that, except you become as a little child. That's how you get in this. You humble down. You just have to humble down like a little child. Say, God, I don't know the way of righteousness. I don't even know how to live righteous. But I want to go. And then he said, everyone that strong meat, though, belongeth to him that is of full age. And even those who by reason of use, that you finally are able to utilize the Word of God that's been put in your character, which is manifested in your senses, and in a way that you're exercising those principles of righteousness. Put it back up there till I'm done with it. To discern both good and evil. That finally, any little evil, you've got enough discernment, but to have to be able to exercise your senses, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and discern good from evil. And of course, if you understand what's good and evil, you can choose the good. You'll have enough understanding, and this takes the power of God. Now, go to the 8th chapter of Romans, where he talks about. Let's just look at the 8th chapter of Romans there, because it'll give us. There's some things in there that I think can be confusing. Now, Paul's been talking about in the 7th chapter, he's been talking about how, you know, under the law, he was having trouble. He said, there's a war going on in me. He said, there's a want to. I want to be righteous. But he said, the things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. But he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, then he said, I thank God he finally comes to the conclusion that the Lord, it's going to take God to help us with this. Well, then in the 8th chapter, he said, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You can be in Christ and not walk after the Spirit and walk in the flesh. In other words, you can be born again. You can be in Christ's kingdom. You can... But you haven't got to a place to, there's no condemnation. You got to take that whole scripture. It doesn't mean there's no condemnation to all of God's children, but it's no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's the question, how do you walk in the Spirit? You know, and he goes on the next verse and says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That when I'm in this inner man, and again, this is a process. We're having to go through a process to get there. That the Spirit of life, as long as you're operating in the Holy Ghost or the inner man, you are free from the law of sin and death. The law, you remember, the law was given just to make sin exceedingly sinful. It just, no man could keep it. You can't keep a law yourself. It takes a process of God transforming your life. The next verse says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law, the flesh, you know, in our carnality, in our Adamic nature, we can't keep from corruption. We can't cease from sinning. The flesh is too weak for that. That's why it takes a new birth. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He's showing you there. Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Even though He didn't sin, He did take on a human form because of sin, and because we needed to be reconciled to God. So Jesus was the first one born of the Spirit that could, through the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit, and he condemned sin in His flesh. He was tempted. He wanted to sin. He wanted to turn stones into bread. He wanted to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. He wanted to build himself a kingdom. He wanted to, you know, he was tempted with all that, but he didn't give in to any of it. And verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Jesus did that, that the righteousness of the law is perfect, Psalm says, converting the soul. The law, there's nothing wrong with the law. It's perfect. But we can't fulfill it in the flesh. But we can fulfill it when we've been born of God. And but going back to Romans 8, what he's saying is that we're... the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Well, you know, don't you find it difficult sometimes to, you know, transfer back into the Spirit, being spiritually minded, spiritually led, And then you find yourself given over to the carnal mind, the spirit of carnality. I'm wanting to get to the spirit, the particular verse here. Verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Because the carnal mind's enmity against God. For it cannot be, it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So that lets you know you're not going to train your mind, yourself, to to be spiritual enough to overcome sin. Because, in the next verse, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. There's what I want to deal with. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's a little bit of a confusing scripture. Because it makes you think, you know, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Christ. And when you take this scripture, like for an example, a lot of people use this. There's people use this scripture say, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not none of Christ. You don't belong to God. We know better than that because we know people that don't have the Holy Ghost. And even before I had the Holy Ghost, I know I had an experience with God. Jesus, he didn't look at his disciples that way before they got the Holy Ghost. But what that's talking about, either you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now that's not just talking about the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, that's not just the Holy Ghost. You can have the Holy Ghost and not have the Spirit of Christ. You can be born to the Spirit of God, but to grow up in Christ, to finally come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, is a maturity. It's a growth where God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints and the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the fullness. We're all to finally come up to the fullness of Christ and to the stature of the man Christ Jesus, that we're to grow up in Him. And so the Spirit of Christ isn't fully established in our lives until a time. It takes time. That's why I say it takes a certain amount of knowledge and understanding, tempered understanding, to be able to walk in the Spirit. You might walk in it a little while. You know, you might get a good experience in God. You may feel the Holy Ghost for a while, but you can't stay in that until God has to, you've got to grow into that to where, and then there's what it's going to take to grow into that is God's help. It's going to take God's help. We've got to have a certain platform. We've got to have a certain, somebody asked me, I was talking to somebody about this not too long ago, and he said, well, tell me what it is we're needing. What is it we're lacking? I said, well, if I knew what we was lacking, we wouldn't be lacking it. I said, you know, if somebody could tell us what we was lacking, we could go to work on that. But I said, we don't have bright enough light to know what we're lacking. But God knows what it is that we're lacking, and He's going to have to come in a greater power. Don't get to thinking that this is all there is. There's something greater coming. Don't get that out of your thinking. Don't get that, you know, before the Holy Ghost was poured out in Topeka, Kansas, and the Pentecostal movement started in the world, there was something else needed, but it had to be God's time for it. The Shulamite in Songs of Solomon said, she's reiterated more than once. She said, wake not my beloved until he be pleased. Showing there's a time for the Lord to come. There's a time. He's resting. It's not God's time yet. He's resting in what he's done. He's not ready to move things any further. He's not ready to get up and go to work. It's not time for that yet. God has, there's a time in the Lord's timing when He's going to come. And we have to learn how to be content with where we're at in God, yet we should always be striving. I still feel the same way that I'm sure some of y'all feel, that I can do better. You know, in other words, I can put forth a greater effort. I need to apply myself more. And I do think that we can get in a frame of mind that, or a rut, where we're not diligent, you know, like we ought to be. We can be slothful even in the where God has us. Because I would like to be, but I know it's going to take God, and it's going to take something or something rattling. It's driving me crazy. It's a little bitty rattle. If it's not this, but. It's bothering me. Anyway, I know the Lord needs. I know the Lord will help us in time, but I would like to be able to achieve everything God wants me to achieve in the light that I have. I'd like to walk in the light as He is in the light. The Bible says, and then we have fellowship with one another. Well, however much of the light we've got that He's in here with us, He's in here with us with a certain amount of light. And if I can walk in that light, the pathway of the just, Proverbs 4 says, is as a shining light that shines more and more unto a perfect day. So this light, it shines more and more. So I mentioned the other night, this is glory. This is from one glory to another glory. It's from one faith to another step in faith. There's a greater walk in faith with God as you walk with Him. That's one of the things that I didn't understand years ago. I didn't understand that it was necessary to grow in God to a place of actually overcoming the sinful nature. And of course, that's hard to accept until you learn something about the doctrine of resurrections. You know, until you understand that, you know, your first question is, when you start to understand this, is what happens to you if you don't make it? Well, let me use my Bible just a minute. I'm just going to open the service, but I got a thought going now. In 1 Thessalonians, four. Look in 1 Thessalonians 4. Now this church let's back up to the third chapter and just look at it for a second here. He said, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. This church hadn't been really established. If you go back into the book of Acts, when Paul went into Thessalonica, he was only there 3 Sabbath days, I believe, 3 weeks. And so this church wasn't well established, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. For when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. In other words, after I had to leave there, I was worried about you, how y'all was doing. So I sent somebody to find out. At least by some means, the temper have tempted you, and our labor